and of your Son, we point to you for all of our life, for everything that is living, it is good. Father, we know that we can trust you, we can lean on you, we can depend on you. We know that you are a part of our lives, but more than that, you are our life, Lord. We have laid down our lives, most of us, that have turned unto you and called upon you as our Lord and our Savior. And this morning, as we are reminded of what you came for, Father, I pray that it quickens within our heart. It stands out as truth. It stands out as life. It stands out as hope, to give us a hope and a future, to know where we're headed with you, Lord. We trust you, Jesus. Thank you for doing what you did on the cross. And thank you for leading and guiding us this morning in this service. Lord, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So obviously today it's a special service, right? It's a day we're honoring our King. Okay, we're pointing to Jesus. We're exalting the Lord Jesus Christ and lifting him up on that pedestal. You know, there are lots of people throughout history that have been born a baby and grew up into some great high position, even all the way to a king. But there has never been a king that came to earth as a baby. Okay, and that's what Jesus did. It was something special, something unique to even Christianity as a religion as a whole. Okay, it's so much more than that. I think there is no other true religion besides Christianity, besides the true Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We know that Jesus was born into this world in a miraculous manner. Okay, even that was foretold. It was forecasted for thousands of years before his actual arrival. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it starts by sharing that this is a quote of a prophecy that says, "And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I can stop right there and say, that's the sermon, right? What did Jesus come for? He came to save people from their sins. In verse 22, it says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was previously spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted as God with us. Okay, then the angels of God, even like we saw in the play earlier, the angels of God, when the time had come, came and announced it, told Mary and said, "This is what's happening." Then the Holy Ghost plants that seed in a virgin named Mary, okay, who a few months later gives birth to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, is born. The shepherds then come and announce and spread the news of his arrival. Okay? They go to see him. Wise men traveled far to see this newborn king. Okay, the Son of God, God with us, Emmanuel, then grows in stature and grows in divinity, accomplishing what no human has ever been able to accomplish on earth and ever has since. He lived the perfect life. He lived the sinless life. He lived the holy and righteous life from beginning to end, all the way through. Jesus successfully overcame every objection, okay, and there were many. He overcame every bit of resistance. He overcame every sinful temptation that Satan had in his arsenal of lies and deceptions. Jesus overcame all of that. Jesus was tempted, I'm jumping ahead of myself, in every point just like we are. Okay, he had to deal with life. Okay, and that's something that makes him so real in my eyes, that he had to deal with what I have to deal with. He had to go through the emotions and the feelings and experience things just like we have. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, that we have not an high priest, Jesus, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted just like we are, and yet he lived without sin. Okay, God related to humanity by becoming a man, by living among us, by enduring the same hopes, okay, the same dreams, the same afflictions, the same strains and stresses, the same temptations that we see in our life. You know, the meaning and the purpose of his life was to give our lives meaning and purpose. Okay, but it was so much more than that. He's not just a feel-good. You know, it's not just something that we want to follow after Jesus because it makes my life feel better. I feel like I'm a better person because of it. It is so much more than just having that meaning and that purpose to life. Jesus came to this earth to do the Father's will, okay, to accomplish what God wanted for us on earth. In John chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus said this. He said, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Jesus came to give eternal life by those who believed on him. The Father's will was for Jesus to die for our sins, bearing our judgment on that cross, taking upon him all that was due unto the people that had strayed. As Jesus breathed out even his last breath, he's still hanging on the cross, and he uses that last breath to tell us something that we should know and believe, and that is, it is finished. Okay, he did what he needed to do to fulfill, to provide us with eternal life in heaven. Jesus came to proclaim the gospel, the good news, right? We all know that. Okay, he came to preach and to proclaim that good news that all who believe on him shall be saved. Okay, eternal life in heaven, okay, with God became a clear reality for all of us. Anyone who would sincerely and simply call upon his name to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 2:21, Luke said it this way. He said, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Jesus taught and demonstrated for his followers all about the glorious and wonderful kingdom of God, and only asked for one thing in return: to deny yourself and follow him. Okay, to believe on him, to trust in him. So by faith we believe in him. By faith we receive the forgiveness of our sins. By faith we know that our sins against the holy God have been washed clean. We have obtained through him the only kind of righteousness that is acceptable to God. Okay, it's not on our own effort. Okay, it's not our own good deeds. It's not our own version of perfection. Okay, that's where Christians fall short of people all the time, trying to be perfect aside from the one way in which Jesus says you can be made right with God. Okay, being saved can only be accomplished through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, John chapter 3, many of you know the gospel message that comes through John 3:16, but the verses before and after that elaborate on what Jesus came for, and that's the message I want to get across today. It says that in John 3:15 that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Because of the sin of our earliest ancestors, all the way back to the beginning, from Adam and Eve, okay, we were all born into this world with a need, okay, to be saved from the wrath, to be saved from the condemnation of a pure and just holy God. Sin can't be in the presence of God. Something had to happen in our life to make us right with him. And that is exactly what Jesus came for. Okay, even as Jesus was submitting to the plan of his life that God had for him, Jesus said that he knew that God could not spare him from bearing our sins on the cross. I don't know if you can imagine what kind of a scene that would be in your mind of thinking about hanging on a cross, being hung till you're dead. Okay, And if you didn't die, they break your legs or do some other crazy thing. I've smashed a few fingers, broken a few bones. Never would I anticipate or look forward to that kind of a moment. And yet Jesus says that he knew that it was for that exact purpose that he came into this earth. In John chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus said this. He said, "Now is my soul troubled," as he anticipates that cross. He says, "Now is my soul troubled, but what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this cause that I came unto this hour." And he says, "Father, glorify thy name." Then came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again." The Apostle Paul is another one. He grew up being taught to hate certain religions. And when Jesus came along, I'm sure he was taught to hate Christianity, to hate Jesus. He was taught to condemn and to kill and to get rid of them. Okay, and that same Christ Jesus came into the world to have a personal encounter with the Apostle Paul. So as Paul has an encounter with him, he ends up turning his whole life around. And in 1 Timothy 1:15, he says this. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation," meaning this is something to grab onto, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. See, Jesus came to earth to save you from eternal separation from God, to save you from eternal hopelessness and even hopelessness here on earth. He came to save you from despair, to save you from destruction, to save you from rejection and the condemnation because of sin in your life. God would have had no other choice than to condemn you for the sin in your life apart from his plan through Jesus. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Okay, apart from Jesus, there is no deliverance from the one thing that will keep you from eternal life in heaven. Jesus said of himself that he came into this world to save, to deliver, to save and heal the sinner by imploring them to repent, okay, to turn from their sin and turn to him for their deliverance, to obtain that eternal life and salvation that was only going to be possible through him. In Mark chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus said that they that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick. I came, therefore, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Again, Luke said it like this, as he's describing the words of Jesus. He said, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." The Bible tells us that in order to fulfill God's plan to save man from sin, that Jesus poured himself out. He took on the role of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, and he became completely human, but yet was without sin, being fully God and fully man. The King of the universe humbled himself even more by becoming obedient to his Father God, following in the ways that he knew that he should fulfill, even to the point of death, to that point of the gruesome and torturous death on the cross. Jesus came to the earth for this express purpose of shedding his precious blood on the cross to provide forgiveness of sins for you and I. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says that God commendeth his love towards us, and yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Jesus came not to destroy sinners, but to save them and to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus came to bear witness of the truth of God. Now, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is an absolute act of faith. Many are not 2,020 years old or older, right? We've never seen Jesus with our eyes, but we see him with our faith. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And we believe what the Bible says, even in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. It says, "He that believes on the Son of God has life and has this witness in himself. He that believeth not has made He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is that record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Okay, that life is in Jesus. And we are, that life is imparted into us by our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the remission of sins. It was shed for us, cleansing us of all unrighteousness, so that we can enter in and remain in the presence of the Almighty God. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. It's about taking a step of faith. Okay? It's about putting everything you believe into one action. And that is what we refer to commonly as communion. Okay? It is an act of remembrance. It's an act where we partake of the bread and the wine, the bread being the body of Christ that was broken for us, and the wine representing or symbolizing the blood of Jesus that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And as we partake, we are proclaiming that we do not doubt that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. We do not doubt, but we have faithful obedience to the Son of God. We believe that Jesus came into the world to save us and give us hope, to give us assurance of our eternal life, and to give us an abundant life here on earth. If I could have the gentleman come up to help with communion this morning. You need to just go ahead and hand things out.